Revelation chapter 22. This week and next week then will be the end of the study on the book of Revelation. If you've missed it, you can pick it up on 105 on Quincy. We've just got to the church of end of Thyatira and on to the church of Sardis as we're doing a study over the radio. I have never done that, and it's been a blessing for me to have studied it so closely together with each other. Revelation chapter 22, we begin reading with verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yield her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb of God shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto us, show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them that keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my rewards is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and adulterers, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. For any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testify these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for this wonderful study. And again, we'll be completing it next week. And we have enjoyed this study for months. And I just thank you for all that you have taught me through this study. And I ask, dear Father, that as we look through these precious words today, that we continue to grow and we continue to learn. And Father, we're going to begin the study in the Gospel of John when we finish this. And so please that you will just give us your leadership and your way. It is one of the most exciting scriptures in your precious book. In John chapter 3, you must be born again. What a precious gift you have given us. Please, dear Lord, guide and lead us. Please show us what you would have us to learn today. If, Father, there are here folks here that do not know you as their Savior, they have not invited you into their heart, please, today would be the day that they would do that, that they would ask you into their heart and have you take their sin away and give them that free gift of salvation. So please, dear Lord, today, that anyone here that has not come by faith to you, today would be the day they would come. And please, dear Lord, continue to use us and teach us and to grow us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. That was quite a bit of reading this morning. I will not get that far into the chapter, but I wanted you to hear the end as we have read all the way through to the this verse of Scripture. And again, we have enjoyed for many months now in studying through this precious book. We need to understand as we come to the climax, to the end of this chapter and the end of this precious book, that it is something we could turn around and study once again and enjoy, and the Spirit of God could teach us and show us His ways if we would turn around. We could study the 22nd chapter week after week after week, and it would continue to show you something new that you need for that day and for that time. And so it is, again, been such a privilege. I have never taught from the same book at the same time, and to teach from the beginning of Revelation, the second, and just getting into the third chapter, and now to the end of the book, it is just a double blessing for me to do that. And so you have to be careful, because I need to remember who I'm speaking to, that I'm in the end of the book and not in the beginning of the book, because you get a little confused sometimes when you're studying two different areas of the same book. We know that in it comes to the end, everyone that is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you can see that in the verse 27, the end of the last chapter, chapter 21, verse 27, the very end of that verse, it tells us, which are they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, that Lamb's Book of Life, the Book of Life, you must be written. You know, we have just been through the Scripture verses in a previous chapter just a few weeks ago, where it talked about the books and the book. God keeps a perfect record of all of our works, of everything we do, completely. Whether you're saved or lost, you have a complete record of everything. If the books are opened and the book is opened, the reason for the plural in the books and the singular in the book, the singular is the book of life. Now, you have a record of everything that you have done, everything that I have done, good, bad, alike. It's all written down in the books, in the books. But you see, those books are just as filthy rags, because if you have not come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted in Him, your name is not written down in the book. And right there in that verse, they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be away from those that worketh abomination, maketh a lie. We need to know that when we get home with our Lord, it's going to be a perfect place. We have looked at the streets. We're going to continue today to look at the pure river of water of life. We're going to look, the streets are of gold. We're going to look at the tree that we find in the middle. We're going to look at the leaves that are present. All this is a beautiful, literal picture of what we have to come if you know Jesus as your Savior. We're going to find a couple of areas, and it keeps repeating itself, of the evil things of the world. And the reason that God does that in the very end of this book is to show that that evil still exists, but it exists in a contained area, and that is in the lake of fire. Many people believe that once this life is over, then it's over. You just your body goes into the grave, it deteriorates away, and that's the size of it. That is not true at all. The Word of God tells us that there is a home for all. Some will go to heaven and some will go to hell. Those that do not trust in the Lord Jesus and have not come by faith and their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, when they die, when they leave this life, they will wake up in the place of torment, awaiting the final judgment, which will come after the thousand-year reign. And at that time, then, they will be every work that they have performed will be held before them. And realize the reason that our Lord waits for the judgment to be at the very end of the millennial reign of Christ, right before we find the new Jerusalem and the new earth coming. Right before that, the reason is because if you would be responsible, say you're a lost person, and you come and you say, you know, I don't believe this book, and I don't believe anybody, I can't imagine anybody that does. And if you would deny that, and say it was your daughter or your son or a friend of yours that heard you say that, and because you said you didn't believe it, they too turned away from it and didn't trust in it. And then their children and their children's children and generation after generation became unbelievers because of something you did, you will be responsible for that. And so God has to wait till the end of time before he can pass out the judgment on the lost. There are degrees of judgment. How can something be worse than the fires of hell and the gnashing of teeth? How can it be worse than that? There is degrees, the Word of God tells us. There are degrees of punishment. So, my friend, please, see that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. All you have to do is say, Jesus, please, come into my heart and save me. The Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin, shows you how evil and wicked you are, and then shows you the Savior. And all you need to do is say, please, come into my heart and save me. It has to have the Holy Spirit convicting your heart. But if you truly want salvation, he will. So please, call upon him today. Trust in him today. And you can enjoy this. Evil is never going to return into the new earth. Evil will never show its ugly face in New Jerusalem. It is a perfect place. As the scripture tells us, no sun, no moon, because the light of the Lord Jesus, God himself, God the Father, God the Son, will be our light. What a beautiful place. What a wonderful place to be. As we begin here in verse 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding of the throne, out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. This pure river. You can get into some areas of the world where you can look down into the water and you can see many feet. You can see a long ways down. And when you do that, it's just hard to imagine. Well, for us that live around here, you go to the edge of the Mississippi River. Put your hand down there about an inch and a half, and it's gone. Can you imagine? Crystal clear. Can you imagine the streets of gold, and it's so pure that they're crystal clear? Can you imagine the waters of this river are perfect, and the water of life, clear and crystal. As crystal, you can see right through it. Everything is going to be perfect. And this proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Everything good in this world has got to come from God. There is nothing in this world that is good that doesn't have its source from God. We, as believers, are the light of the world. We are to shine. We are the salt of the earth. We are to be the one that makes the difference. Do you want to know why this world is so wicked? It's because the church has failed. We do not know the Word of God. We don't take the Word of God out. And if we don't do that, why, it just becomes more and more wicked because it's the absence of the light. We're going to be in a place where the light of the Lord Jesus, God the Father, and the Lamb of God is going to be the light. We here should be that light. We should be the light. I don't know how many saw the little sliver of the moon last night. Why didn't we see the moon, the whole thing? Why did we see just a little sliver of it? It's because the sun couldn't get to it because the earth was in the road. Well, a lot of times we don't shine very much because the old world's in the road and we don't reflect very good. We have to have the light of the Lord Jesus. We're not our own light. We reflect the light of our God. And so we need to be seeing Him clearly, fully. And when we do, we will shine and people will see that light. And so what a wonderful time that we live in to give out the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But what a wonderful time this will be. Everything will be perfect. And so we have the water of life, this pure river. We also have in verse 2, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. This new paradise, this new earth, this new Jerusalem. This isn't something that's just symbolized or spiritualized. This is something that's going to be. God tells us in His Word, He's like something. He'll say, you know, it is like this. But here, you know, when He tells us here, shows me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. He tells us that the streets are pure gold. What a beautiful place this is going to be. And now we find that not only is it going to be just all these precious metals, the pearls, single pearls, are on each side of the New Jerusalem. There's three gates on each side, and the gates are one solid pearl. We've looked at the foundations. We've looked at the size of the wall. We've looked at this beautiful city. And this is where the church lives. This is where the church lives. You and I as believers, we live in the church age. So we will live in New Jerusalem with our Lord Jesus Christ. The nation of Israel, the Jews, and other nations all live outside. We live in the New Jerusalem with Him inside this walled city. Remember how small it is? It's 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles high. That's the size of the city. Will there be room for all? Yes. Gold streets, this river of water of life. And now we find this tree, and it bears 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And so it's not that you get one harvest as we have now. But it will be a new harvest every month and a different fruit each month. Each month. When we get to heaven, you're not going to have to eat. I eat because I have to eat. Some folks eat because they love to eat. You can be able to eat if you want to. Not going to have to. Our Lord, when He came back with His glorified body, ate. And so we're going to have the opportunity to eat. It's going to be there for us if we want to. It's all a wonderful, glorious place. This tree of life. Some believe that when you look to the original, I did look to the Greek, and it gives a little reference to trees of life. And so it could be more than just one tree. It could be a grove of trees or a row of trees. You know, some of these things, the only thing we can do is use our imagination to think of how it's going to be in New Jerusalem. But we know that God has it all worked out. It's going to be perfect. The manner of fruit, what kind of fruit is it going to be? It doesn't tell us. It just tells us it's going to be 12 different fruits. Each month it's going to produce this fruit. What a glorious place this is going to be. We have something here as well at the end that may seem a little strange, because there is no sin, there's no corruption, there's no darkness, there's no need for a police force or for an army or for anything of that liking, because everything is going to be perfect. And yet it says here that the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. For the healing of the nations. That sounds a little strange. You know, when we look to this, and that's what I love to know, to study the Word of God, and you can get your concordance out, or you can get your vines out. Both of those are dictionaries of the Greek and the Hebrew. And you look these words up, and so you look to healing. What healing do we need? There is no sickness. There is no disease. Why do we need healing? And so when we look to these words here, we find that this healing here is more of a home. It's a bringing together. It's a time of worship. And you know, to come and to have a healing, what a better healing we have when we come together and we enjoy each other's presence and we grow together. And so that's what that is talking about here. The nations will continue to grow together as a family. They'll continue to be together, to grow together, and have great and wonderful fellowship. We look at this tree of life that we see here in this second verse. There was a tree that God told the Adam and Eve not to partake of. Was this it? Let's go back to Genesis, all the way to the other end of your Bible, Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 2, the other verses in 3 that we'll look at in a second. Genesis chapter 2, look at the 17th verse with me, if you would, please. We'll even read verse 15, 16, and 17, so we know that we're keeping things in context. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, "The Lord God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Oh, it's not the tree of life. It's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. "Thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou shalt eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now let's see if we can find this tree of life. Let's look to Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. This is right after we have, in Genesis 3:15, we have the presentation of the first gospel. Man has fallen, and we have the first gospel, and then we have the acceptance of the offering in verse 21 to show you that God has never changed in His way of salvation. The way of salvation, it must be an innocent sacrifice, must be God's plan, must be the shedding of blood, must be the death of the sacrifice. All those things need to take place. And if you look at verse 21, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." Now, in order to have the coats of skins, an animal had to die. There had to be the shedding of blood. And they had to accept them. And it's the same thing today. You know, it's not a universal salvation that God, the Lord Jesus did. He died for all the world, the sins of all the world. But unless you come by faith to Him, receive that free gift of salvation, does it come to your account? Does it take your sin away? You must come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Here it was the same way. These coats of skins and clothed them. Who did it? God did it. You know, there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. Our Lord saves us. Our Lord takes our sin away. We have the shedding of blood there, we have the death of the animal, we have it being God's way, and we have them accepting that gift when He puts those coats of skins on. So we have the plan of salvation right there in chapter 21 of the book of Genesis. You don't have to get all the way to Romans, to the Roman road, or the Gospel of John to see where and how salvation is performed. It started clear back in 21. And then the Lord says in verse 22, "The Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us. They had eaten of the of this tree that they were forbidden to. And to know good and evil, now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the keep the way of the tree of life. What would have happened if Adam would have eaten of the tree of life before he had sinned? He would have lived forever. He'd still be alive today. If he would have eaten of the tree of life after he had sinned, after he had had eaten of the forbidden fruit, he would have lived forever. He would still be alive today. What's the difference between the two? One, he had a perfect body. But after sin came in, that body would deteriorate. And for God to have allowed Adam and Eve to eat of the tree of life at that time, being sinners, would not have been far from hell, because they would have been in that body, continued to deteriorate and deteriorate and deteriorate. Who here realizes, and you folks that are young, young enough that you haven't experienced sickness and ill health and surgeries and things like that, you maybe don't realize, but you're deteriorating. And I'm deteriorating. And when I go up to Mayo's and they look and they poke and they check and they keep and they test, all those things trying to keep me healthy, trying to keep me going. I praise the Lord for their knowledge and ask the Lord to give them wisdom of what to do and how to take care of it. And I know that they will not increase my days. It's a day to be born and a day to die. It doesn't matter if you go to the finest doctors in all the world. Your day to die is that day, and it's not going to matter. But I believe that you can enjoy, with the Lord's leadership, a quality of life. So we need to take care of ourselves. And so in doing that, in taking care of ourselves, why, we can live, hopefully, God willing, a healthy life to work and praise and honor our God. However, I don't care how many times you go to the doctor. I don't care how many times that you have surgery. I don't care how many new parts you've got. You know, today, why, you can get about any part that you need. You just go up and they put a new knee in or a new hip in or a new heart in or whatever you need. They just replace it and you go on. It doesn't matter. No matter what they do, you're going to deteriorate. You continue to deteriorate, and there's going to be a day that you're going to die. And that is a blessing to a believer. That's a blessing to a believer. Because the day that I die is the day I'm going to be in the presence of my Lord instantly. No more pain. No more suffering. No more surgeries. No more. Because of what my God did for me. He died on the cross of Calvary to save me. He has given me this perfect place to go. And he knew that if Adam or Eve had gotten to that tree of life after they had sinned, that death would never come. Death is a graduation. Death is a victory for a believer. We've all been to funerals where folks are saved. We've all been to funerals where folks aren't saved. How many times have you heard the preacher say, that person, to my knowledge, did not trust in Jesus and woke up in hell today? When's the last time you heard that? I don't care how wicked the person is. I don't care how bad. They're in a better place. No, they're not. If they left this earth without Jesus, they're hellbound. They're going to go to the place of torment. Preachers need to start preaching the truth. You know, when you preach a funeral like that, they don't call you back. They want folks to say how nice they were and how good they were. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Praise God that He kept them away from the tree of life. Praise God that tree of life has returned. And we're going to enjoy eternity with it if you know Jesus as your Savior. So we look back in Genesis chapter 2. We looked at the tree they wasn't supposed to eat, be partake of. We also looked at chapter 3 and saw a tree that God stopped them from having a part of. But now we have the opportunity to enjoy it. And so please, and we look at the healing of these nations, the leaves are going to be a healing of nations. You know, when there's two things here that I enjoy. I love living in the country, and I love hearing the water rush. You hear that. It's just it's soothing. It relaxes you. Something else that I enjoy, I love to hear the rustle of the leaves in the trees. And so those two things here on this earth you can enjoy, and they bring a peace and a relaxation to you. What are they going to be like when we get home in heaven with our Lord in the new earth and new Jerusalem? What a glorious day that's going to be. Again, we will be eating and drinking at our pleasure, not to sustain us. We see here, and we'll probably end here, we're out of time already, but as we look now at verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. No more curse. The most beautiful flower, the most beautiful sunrise, the most beautiful sunset. You travel a little bit, and going up to Rochester and coming back, we get in north of Waterloo, and there's 2 foot of snow from there all the way to Rochester. Beautiful. It's just like God took a blanket. We've been up there before when, you know, this time of the year when it's barren. It's just all brown, and oh, it was just gorgeous, and it just was just like a pillow or a cotton ball. It was just everywhere, up and down the hills. And if you've ever traveled up there, you get in some areas, and it's real light hills, and so you get to some areas, and you just see forever. And I would have loved to have a picture. It's just beautiful. Just beautiful as we could see those things. It was a little trouble traveling, but it was beautiful. But you see, things of beauty in heaven won't have a curse related to it. Okay, we look at it one minute, the next minute I can't see the car in front of me. That's going to go away. Everything is going to be perfect. And the colors and the beauty that we're going to have there is going to be beyond any of your imagination. Please. Please know Jesus as your Savior. The curse will be gone. The throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And as we enjoy knowing, they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. Who will be there? Only those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You sure you know Jesus? I don't want you trusting in your religion. I don't want you trusting the membership of this church or the baptism. I don't want you trusting in that. I want you to come here and fellowship and grow, but don't trust in that for your salvation. Because Jesus is the only way. And you need to come by faith to Him. That is the only way that you can enjoy this time that we're looking at here. The only way. Please, don't confuse it by tradition or by some teaching of some man. Look to the Word of God and find out, my friend, that we're living in the whosoever time. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is never a greater time to live than now. accept what's to come. Please, trust in Jesus as your Savior. Don't miss that. Don't miss this opportunity, this time. The alternative to this is the lake of fire, the gnashing of teeth, dying and yet never dying. As glorious and wonderful as this is going to be, the opposite is going to be wicked. Can you imagine having cancer and your body being eaten up by cancer and the pain being so great and you want to die? Many people take their own life because the pain is so great. But you can't. Forever dying and yet never die. That's what's coming if you choose to reject Jesus. When is the time to come? Today is the day of salvation, the Scripture tells us. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for your strength. I thank you for your wisdom. I just ask, dear Lord, that you'll just touch every heart that's here. Bring the power of your Holy Spirit, and he will come. And he will bring a blessing to those that are saved. And he will show the wicked condition of the heart to those that are lost. The world can do that. But the world can't bring salvation. The world can't bring peace. And Lord Jesus, you can. Your sweet Spirit comes and shows us that salvation. Shows us the way to be saved. Not by giving money, not by being a member of a church, but just inviting you, Lord Jesus, to come into our hearts to save us. Can't be any simpler. And yet multitudes miss it. Please, Lord Jesus, just touch every heart today. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for your precious word. Touch every heart. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.